Hello friends, Denny Pruto here with a short lesson beginning a series on the subject of biblical typology. Biblical typology is surrounded by a lot of mystery, and I have characterized it as chasing leprechauns. Leprechauns were mythical characters, and the hope was to find the leprechaun and follow the leprechaun to the end of the rainbow and find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. In this case, the pot of gold or the treasure is the biblical type. And finding the biblical type is surrounded by much mystery. But actually, this is not the case. Biblical types, as I indicate in my outline, are set forth in Scripture. And this is the first principle that we need to understand. Biblical types are indicated by Scripture. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. In other words, the Apostle Paul tells us explicitly that Adam was a type of the one who was to come, that is, Jesus Christ. Adam was and is, in the Bible, a type of Christ. The Bible designates this fact, this truth. And one of the things that we understand from this truth is that biblical types are prophetic, that biblical types always look forward to something that transpires in the New Age, that is, in the Gospel Age. And so when Adam comes on the scene, Adam foreshadows the fact that Jesus Christ will later come on the scene. The type is prophetic of the antitype. And a comparison is being made between Adam and Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul draws out this comparison in Romans chapter 5. And the comparison is very simple. The comparison is this, that Adam is the head of humanity, and Jesus Christ is the head of a new humanity. The comparison is that both Jesus Christ and Adam are federal heads. This is the idea of the type and the antitype. And we see here that in this case, that the type is an historical person. Types are historical persons, offices, institutions, or events. In the case of Adam, Adam is a historical person. To understand this a little bit better, we turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. Listen to how the writer to the Hebrews characterizes types in the Old Testament. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Biblical types foreshadow that which comes in the New Testament era. And in this case, the writer to the Hebrews is talking about the institution of the temple sacrifices. For since the law, including the ceremonial law and the temple sacrifices, has but a shadow of the good things to come, that is, foreshadows the sacrifice of Jesus Christ instead of the true form of these realities, the reality is Christ. It can never by the same sacrifices. You see, the writer to the Hebrew is zeroing in on the institution of the sacrifices of the ceremonial law. And that we find the same thing in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17. Listen carefully to Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, let no one pass a judgment on you in questions of food and drink or regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. The Apostle Paul here is zeroing in on the ceremonial law, the institutions that make up the ceremonial law. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. A comparison is being made between the Old Testament ceremonies on one hand and the substance which are foreshadowed by the ceremonies, the substance which comes to us in Christ. The ceremonies are typological, are types, and Christ is the anti-type or the answer to the type. And here you see that types are institutions. And then, of course, we can turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter zeroes in a little bit more specifically on the institutions of the sacrifices. And listen to how Peter characterizes the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and connects the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to the Old Testament ceremonies. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Like a lamb. The connection is made by way of simile. And what we find is that similes, parables, and types are in the same family. And similes are formal comparisons. Parables are extended similes. They work out similes in stories that could be actual circumstances and situations. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who went out in a field and sowed seed. Well, this is a story that could actually take place. Similes, parables, and types are in the same family. That is, similes, parables, and types are analogous. Similes, parables, and types give us basic comparisons. Let's go back to the idea of Romans 5:14, where Adam is a type of the one who was to come. That is, Adam is a type of Christ. The type, as I've said, is prophetic. It looks forward to that which takes place in the gospel age. But now, when we understand that similes, parables, and types are in the same family, and in this case, the type is determined by Scripture or designated by Scripture, utilizing a simile, the comparison is thus established, utilizing a simile, we see that similes often introduce us to types. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish. Peter is referring to the Day of Atonement and the lambs utilized on the Day of Atonement where the high priest would place his hands on the head of the lambs and impute the sins of the people, place the sins of the people on the lambs, and one lamb was led out into the wilderness, symbolizing the fact that our sins are removed from us by Jesus Christ, and the other lamb was sacrificed. The blood of the atoning lamb was shed in payment for our sins, pointing us to Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus Christ is like that Old Testament lamb. And the person of Jesus Christ and the institution of the sacrifices are set forth in the type of the sacrifice, that is, the sacrifice of the Lamb. And then let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones, being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter is likening us to the church and the temple. The Old Testament temple, that is likened to the church. We are living stones being built up into a spiritual house, like the temple was built of stones in the Old Testament. And so the New Testament church is like the Old Testament temple. It is a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And the Old Testament temple foreshadows the New Testament church. We are given this idea, and the type is designated by Scripture through the utilization of a simile, and the comparison is drawn. And I skipped Deuteronomy 18, but this is also a very important text of Scripture pointing us to Jesus Christ. A familiar text of Scripture. Listen again to the simile given to us in Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. And then verse 18, God says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And so Moses is compared to a prophet whom God will raise up in the future. And of course, the book of Acts in chapter 2 tells us that this prophet spoken of by God in Deuteronomy chapter 18 is Jesus Christ. The type Moses foreshadows Jesus Christ. And here we have an office, not only a person, Jesus Christ and Moses, but also an office, Moses the great prophet. And when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, he is a great prophet. So types are historical persons, offices, institutions, and we haven't covered events yet, but we'll do that in a subsequent lesson. And so the type is identified and designated in Scripture by use of the simile. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7 now and consider what the writer to the Hebrews has to say in chapter 7 with regard to Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. Now, the New American Standard Version reads it, but like the Son of God, and the translation, of course, is similar, resembling or like the Son of God. In other words, the writer to the Hebrews is comparing Old Testament Melchizedek and Jesus Christ in the New Testament. They are both priests, and they are both kings. They are historical persons, and they have certain offices, priest and king. And in Melchizedek, the offices of priest and king are merged, as they are merged together in the person of Jesus Christ. And the writer to the Hebrews draws out a central similarity between Melchizedek and Jesus Christ. He is without father or mother or genealogy. In other words, he comes on the scene, and he comes on the scene without any human genealogy before him. And this is similar to Jesus Christ, who comes on the scene as the divine Son of God. Oh yes, Jesus Christ has a human genealogy, and both the Gospels of Matthew and the Gospels of Luke give us these genealogies. But there's a similarity here that's drawn between Jesus Christ and Melchizedek. The former is this mysterious figure who comes on the scene without any background, human background, as it were. And Jesus Christ similarly comes on the scene without this human background, and he is the Son of God and has the offices of priest and king. Now, there's something else that we ought to note about the interpretation of types. Similes, parables, and types are in the same family. And one of the ways we are encouraged to interpret parables is that we are to take the central comparison given to us in the parable and understand that central comparison. Usually, if we press all the details of the parable, we will run amok in our interpretation of the parable. It's important for us to get the central, the main comparison. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 14 again. Adam is a type of Christ. The central comparison the Apostle Paul gives to us is the comparison of headship. Adam is the head of the human race. Jesus Christ is the head of a new humanity. This is the central comparison. We don't press other details because there is no comparison between Adam and Jesus Christ when we press the other details. For example, Adam sins in a multitude of ways. Jesus Christ never sins. And so in interpreting types, we need to understand that it's the central comparison that's important. No, typology is not like chasing leprechauns. There is not a great mystery to the understanding of biblical types. types are designated by Scripture. Types are historical persons, offices, institutions, or events. And similes, parables, and types are in the same family together. And they are to be interpreted like parables, getting the central comparison. Now, there are a lot of figures. There are a lot of events. There are a lot of circumstances in Scripture that are often interpreted by types. But I like the statements of Bullinger along this line in his book, Figures of Speech Used in the Bible. And Bullinger says about types, "There is therefore not much profit in following out what have been called types by men. Many are merely illustrations, and it would be better to so call them. Many of the individuals of the Old Testament that we consider to be types of Jesus Christ are not specifically designated by Scripture as types of Jesus Christ, but are illustrative of Jesus Christ, and we ought to consider them as illustrative. They do not teach truths about Jesus Christ in and of themselves. They illustrate those truths which are clearly seen elsewhere." And it seems to me that we ought to take Bullinger seriously at this point. And remember, types are designated by Scripture, and we ought to follow along that line. In the subsequent lessons, I'm going to flesh out some other types to help illustrate these basic principles that I've just given to you. Thanks for listening.